Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and gel pens in every color. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word. Welcome to today's podcast. Today's title is Don't Be a Parasite, and we're talking about how to be a good, productive church member or attender. Before we get into that, I wanted to give you a little bit about my background and kind of where I'm coming from in regards to this subject today. First of all, I'm coming from this as a church member and someone who has attended church her whole life. There has never been a time in my life where I have not attended church regularly and faithfully. I will say there have been times when I've been a bit disillusioned with church, and there have been times where churches have greatly failed me and discouraged me and hurt me, as I'm sure many of my listeners can attest that, you know, church is full of human beings just like any other organization in the world, and there are going to be times where they've let you down or where you've been hurt. But I have never lost my faith in God through all of this, and I have stuck it out and battled through some difficult times in various churches along the way, and I'm very grateful that God has given me the grace to do so. I grew up in a church that I started attending when I was born. My parents were very involved in leadership there. My mom had a paid position at the church for quite a while. My grandfather was the head of the deacon board, and I was always in the middle of everything that was kind of going on at that church. When I graduated from high school, I moved to Florida and went to college there, and I joined the campus church and attended there for the 4 years I was in school. And when I moved back home, I decided it was time to find a church of my own. And I did that and attended a church for about 8 or 9 years until the church had some internal issues in leadership, and the pastor resigned and a lot of the leadership resigned. And I felt like it was a bit of a bad situation there, and I felt like it was time to move on. I began attending the church that I currently work for, Littlestown Chapel, in 1999, and I've been attending there ever since. I came on staff there in December of 2005, and I've been on staff there since then, full time. So now I'm also coming at this discussion today from a church leader. I have had leadership positions and a lot of service positions in churches since I was a teenager, and now with a paid position full time where I'm involved in a lot of the behind the scenes work of a church. I'm also coming at this from that point of view. So I'm looking at this as someone who has served alongside you in the trenches in churches, and also someone who has led people and who has been in charge of ministries and volunteers and those kinds of things. So that's kind of my view. Some of the things that I'm going to talk about today kind of come from what I've experienced as I've attended church, and others have to do more with my point of view as I've become a leader. Let me just say that while none of these things that I'm not going to talk about today, I'm not speaking about a particular person in a particular church. Let me just say that parasites, church parasites, exist in nearly every church in the United States and probably churches all over the world. I think that's because, once again, we are human, and oftentimes we don't always live in our best selves. We often allow our pride and our stubbornness and our willfulness and our selfishness to run the show, so to speak, and that can quickly turn us into someone who has the behavior of a parasite. And so while I'm not specifically speaking to any particular people, know that most likely there are people who attend your church that fall into one of these kinds of parasites that we're going to be talking about today. And actually, what I've chosen to do is, as I've chosen to talk about how not to be a parasite, how not to be a kind of person who drains a church. And so as we get started, let's just make sure we define correctly what we're talking about when we talk about a church parasite. An actual parasite is something that attaches itself to a living organism and feeds off of the host body and it takes all of its nutrients to survive, the things that it needs to survive. It pulls them from the host body, but it gives nothing back in return. There is no equal flow of life-giving force. So the parasite is basically draining the life, the nutrients from the host, and is supplying the host with nothing. It's just kind of leached on and sucking him dry. The parasite will stay attached to the host as long as it's getting its nutrients. But if it has completely drained the host, or in some cases, the host is actually dies, the parasite will then move on to another host body and begin to take the life from that host body. So when we talk about a church parasite, we're talking about someone who joins a church or attends a church and drains it of its life-giving force. It drains it of its resources. It drains it of the things that are there to make the body healthy. And it drains them off without filling them back up, without contributing anything. Basically, he's just a taker. And a church parasite is someone who takes and takes and takes and destroys in various degrees what is left of the church body after he's fed off the nutrients that he needs. After that parasite has taken the things that it wants, it will either move on to a new church somewhere, or he or she will, maybe they'll be, at this point, they'll be disillusioned and angry, and they'll blame the church for all their problems and won't go anywhere anymore. And I've seen both of those happen more times than I would like to admit. We know that the church matters to God. We know in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, let me just double check this verse, Ephesians 5:25, Paul is telling husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church because he gave himself up for her. We know that the church, a body of believers, was God's idea. It's not man's idea. We know that this matters to God, that the church is important to him. As Pastor Bill Hybels says from Willow Creek Church, the local church is the hope of the world. And if you're like me and you believe that, then it matters to you that our churches are strong, that our churches are healthy, that they're vibrant, and that they're life-giving. But at the same time, churches aren't an entity. They're made up of individuals. Just like a company can't be kind or honest unless it has kind or honest people working for them, a church is the same way. The church can't be life-giving if there aren't people, it isn't full of people who are invested in giving life. If they're not attuned to being givers, the church itself cannot do that. And so as a result, when we get situations where there's a lot of people that are taking and taking and not giving, the church suffers greatly for it. And this causes, I believe, great pain to the heart of Christ, who gave himself up for the church, who built this body of believers up to be his light in the world. And so if that matters to you, if you want to be the kind of person who gives life instead of draining something of life, and you don't want to be a parasite, then you need to be willing to give. And you need to be willing to give maybe more than you're receiving. You need to be able to give as much as you can. And let me just remind you, before we get into these few areas of giving to your church, let me just say that there is a biblical principle that runs through much of the Bible in so many stories and places and epistles and letters, and that is our God is a God of abundance. God is not stingy. God is not depleted in any way. God does not, he doesn't want for anything. He has everything. In fact, there are so many verses in the epistles that talk about God's glorious riches or his abundant inheritance that's laid up for us in heaven. There is abundance on Christ's behalf. What he has done for us and what we have available to us because of Christ's sacrifice is an abundance of riches, more than we could ever need. So know that when you give of your time and your resources and your energy and your when you commit, when you do those things, remember that this is coming out of the abundance that Christ has given to you. You're not going to run out when Christ is the one fueling all of this. So remember that we're not doing these things because we should, or because, we want to have a good reputation, or we don't want people to think badly of us, or maybe think that we're like a parasite. We need to remember that we're doing these things because we love Jesus, and he loves the church. And so as a result, out of the abundance that he's given to us, we can give back and we can give of ourselves. And so here are four things that I really think we need to give to a church in order to not be a parasite. And the first one is we need to give a commitment. We need to commit to a church. Over and over in the New Testament and in a lot of early church writings from a lot of the early church fathers, you will often see the church referred to as the bride of Christ. And that imagery is not coincidental at all. That is a very deliberate attempt to remind us that as Christians, as believers, we make a commitment to Christ. And his body is committed to each other and committed to Jesus. And so when you begin to attend a church, you need to commit to them as somewhat like a wedding ceremony where you're saying, I'm going to come into this group of people and I'm going to be a part of it. And I'm going to, just as marriage vows would say, just I'm going to protect it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to serve it. I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to run when things get hard. These are important commitments to make because the church really is a family. We're a family. We come together. We do things. We all pitch in. We're all a part of Christ's body. And as a result, we are committed to each other and we are committed to the church. And that means several different things. First of all, if your church has membership roles and they would ask that people join in membership, and a lot of churches do this. A lot of churches have rules for who can teach and who can preach from the platform and who can do certain things. They have to be a member of the church. If your church is focused on membership, if that's something they consider important, then join the church and be a member. I don't know of any person I've ever talked to who has refused to join the church where deep down inside it isn't really just a matter of pride. Now, there may be some good reasons. I know, honestly and truly, I know churches can be cruel. People can be cruel. I have been in bad situations myself, churches that have really just disillusioned me to the whole idea of church. But I've also had bad jobs and bad bosses, and I still work. And I've also had bad meals, but I still eat out. I've gotten food poisoning from the same restaurant twice, and yet I just ate there last week. You know, there's something about church where we think it should be different, but we forget that it's people, and people make bad choices all around the world. Yes, we would love to say that Christians always do the right thing, but I think deep down inside, we know they're not going to do the right thing in every moment, in every circumstance, the same way we're not. They're human and they make mistakes. And while I believe it's time, there is a time and a place for leaving a church that has been toxic to you, to your faith, to your family, I also think that that should not preclude you being able to commit to another church. Do your research. Find out what's going on. If you can't commit to that church, if you can't say, I align myself to where this church is headed and I want to be a part of it and sign up in membership with this church, if you cannot say that to that church, then you need to find a church that you can. And if it's a matter of your pride holding you back, you don't want to be vulnerable again, or you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're caving into someone else's set of rules or whatever, that's an issue you're going to have to work out between you and God. But I'm going to tell you, God has an amazing ability to take our pride and beat us over the head with it until we surrender. As someone who is very take charge type A, I got it all under control, I'm going to run the show personality, God has used my pride to really break me so many times. And if that's what's holding you back, then I just say I pray for you, because God's going to get through that. He's going to break through that if one way or another with you. Join your church, become a member. What that does is it tells the people in your church that you're committed to them. being a member means that I'm willing to stick it out with you. And yeah, things might get a little rough. We might disagree. We might not like the way things happen from time to time, but we're going to work it out. We're going to talk it through. We're going to pray together. We're going to love each other in spite of the difficulties over the next period of time until God moves one of us on. I'm going to be here. I'm committed. It also tells the leadership that you're committed to the values of your church. Nothing as a churchgoer or a church leader has been more frustrating to me than when someone who has completely different doctrinal, theological views, different values, shows up at a church and decides that that's the church they want to be at, and they're going to try to make it fit their values and their theology. I really think that's just beating your head against a rock. If you don't agree with the church that you're attending, if there are theological issues, you need to move on. Let me also say, though, that not everything is a theological issue. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are just unclear. And if they don't pertain to salvation, to the theology, main tenets of theology, the Trinity, the virgin birth, the resurrection of Christ, those kinds of things, if they're peripheral things that really aren't theology, but are just vague areas of scripture, I'm not sure that's worth leaving a church over. I guess it depends on how strong you feel about it. But when it comes to theology, if you cannot agree with the church's stance, then find a church you can agree with. Find a church that you can commit to. Become part of the family. Make that formal declaration. The second thing that you can do to not be a parasite, the second thing you can give is your money. Give financially. And I want to say there's an important principle in Scripture about the fact that God is the one who has given us everything. And He wants us to be able to give back to Him. And I want to read you this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And he's talking about the Corinthian people, and he's talking about giving. They gave beyond their means. And this is such a great, great passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to start reading verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now, stop and listen to this a second. Their extreme poverty coupled with their abundance of joy overflowed into a wealth of generosity. Now, I love this verse because it's saying that really all you have to be able to be generous is a lot of joy and very little money. And what happened was they were in this severe test of affliction. But in verse 3, it says they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Now, remember that during the years after Jesus ascended into heaven, the Jewish church, the Christians, these early Christians came under severe persecution and began to scatter. Many of them lost their ability to make their own money. Much of trade and the way of doing business relied on a lot of things that would have been the early church members of this early church, they would have shied away from. A lot of the things were tied to temple worship and different things, especially as Paul began to spread out into a lot of the outside of Rome and outside of Jerusalem and started taking things out to these Christians who were spread about in parts of Greece. And here in this area, where this is Macedonia, he's talking about, they have nothing because they have very little opportunity to make money. And so they what they wanted to do was to take the little that they had and give it to others they knew that were suffering as well. And he goes on to say that, I want to read verse 13, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. And he's saying, if you have anything you can give, you should give it so that when you need something, it will be there for you. There's not a socialist idea here that we divide everything up and everything's fair, but as a, if I am willing to give, God will take care of me and there will be plenty left over for me. There's the principle in scripture that all we own is God's, and every single time we choose to give to God's work, we are acknowledging that, that this is what we are investing right now is in eternity. We are investing in what matters. Let me just tell you, from being on staff at a church, churches spend money, and they spend money in ways you couldn't even imagine. I recently have been working on budgets for my children's ministry. We had to submit budgets this year, and we've always handled money a little differently, but this time we've been working on a values-based budget. What are our values, and how do we spend money that reflects our values? And so one of our values is that as a kids ministry, we want to make sure that families have the tools they need to talk about what the kids are learning at home, because we believe that what happens on Monday morning is far more important than what they're going to get on Sunday morning. We know that the real growth of day-to-day, it happens in day-to-day life. It doesn't happen at church. It happens at home. And so we want parents to have resources. So as a result, not only do we buy curriculum that our kids are using in their classrooms each Sunday, but we also buy materials that go home, that go directly to parents. We invest time in putting videos on websites and different things like that so that parents can have the tools that they need. Most people don't realize that we do those things unless you're in the kids ministry, and most people wouldn't even realize that that's at all important. We have line items for Goldfish crackers and lollipops, and we have a whole costume budget where we have to buy wigs and silly hats for story times and all sorts of things just in kids ministry alone that most people have no clue that we have to pay for beyond the day-to-day running of your church, the heat, the electricity, the internet, the sound system, the tech that has gotten to be pretty much, you know, you have to have it to be able to do business in the world today. You know, to be able to utilize your materials, you need to have computers and everything's downloaded. It's all those things. They're expensive. Churches spend money because they're trying to provide relevant and up-to-date experiences for kids and adults and teenagers. Churches need your money. If you're attending a church, you should give. If you are attending a church, you are utilizing its resources. If you come to worship service on Sunday mornings, then you are utilizing, you're singing with the worship band, then every single microphone, monitor, band equipment, sound system, speakers, wires, cords, all of those things have been purchased so that you can experience worship on Sunday mornings. If you are showing up for church, then you are utilizing its resources and you should give back. And historically, you know, the church has always relied on the tithe, a 10% acknowledgement that everything I have belongs to God, but I'm going to give him this 10% back for this body of believers that I worship with. And I'm not going to really tell you that you have to do that. You don't have to tithe 10%. I think, once again, that's an Old Testament principle. I don't think that you should arbitrarily just choose some number. I don't think you should do it based on your budget. I think you should ask God what you should give. And I think you should allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and know that it is okay to be generous because God will take care of you. And our God, as I said at the beginning, is a God of abundance and he will meet your every need. And so I encourage you, if you don't want to be a parasite, give financially to your church as best you're able to do so. And just know that if you did the first step right, if you've committed to a good church that you stand behind and you stand behind their values and their mission, and you're committed to be there with them in difficult times and in easy times, and you're there, then your financial gift is being used in a way that will honor and glorify God and will certainly be used to build up your community and help the people there come to know the God who loves them and who has made a way for them to find him. Number three, if you would like to avoid being a parasite, you need to give acts of service. You need to give your service. You need to serve. I would say do something. I am not one of those kind of people that is going to tell you you need to take 8,000 personality tests, although those are helpful. I'm not going to tell you that you need to do a spiritual gifts assessment, although those have their place as well. My number one encouragement to you would be to look at your church bulletin and see the activities that are coming up and the different ministries that you have. Or if you are going to a membership class, maybe you're going to join, you want to find out the different ministries that we have and what sounds interesting. And why don't you just start doing something? I mean, it's a novel idea, but just jump in and say, hey, could I help out with this for a few weeks? And just give it a try. Try anything. Try anything that sounds interesting. Try things that might not sound interesting. What's the thing that tugs at your heart when you think about serving in your church? What is an area that you think, you know what, I might be able to do that? Or what's an area you think, well, that might be fun? Or how about, what might God want to teach me? Where can I go where God will teach me something? In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter talks about showing hospitality and loving each other earnestly. And he says that it's very important to do so. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Peter's saying that, you know, God is glorified through your service, and you can serve in whatever way that you are able to do so. And as you do, know that you are serving Jesus. We serve Jesus by serving others, and we can serve in our local church. We can participate and we can jump in and try something. Let me just tell you, I would say that one of the greatest struggles of my professional life in church, as far as my paid jobs at church, is finding volunteers. That is something I am constantly, always, 100% of the time, in recruitment mode. I am always looking for people to serve. And that is because there are always holes. There are always places that someone's doing two times the work, or someone's working two services instead of one, or someone's filling in every other week because we don't have that area filled. There's always, always, always places that are open to be served. And I can tell you right now, at your church, there has to be two. There has to be places where we need people to serve, and people would jump in. If people would jump in, then the load would be lightened for everyone. One thing I hear a lot in church, and I've heard this my whole life, all in all different scenarios of all different kinds of ministries, is people will say, well, I serve my time. And this bugs me on several levels. First of all, it bugs me I get offended because it sounds like we're talking about prison. And like serving Jesus is equivalent to a prison sentence. I've served my time. You know, I did my time in the big house. Now I can just sit in the main service and just soak it all in. I don't need to serve anymore because I did my time. I love what one of my favorite podcast pastors, Craig Rochelle, says. If you're not dead, you're not done. If God has left you on this earth, he knows there is something you can still do. You're still useful. If you're not dead, you're not done. And that does not mean that you have to teach the same Sunday school class for 60 years, unless that is working for you and that's something that you enjoy doing. Your service will change. The amount of time you can give, the amount of work that you can commit to will change over time as your life experience, as your circumstances change, as your as you age. There are things that may have been a lot easier for you when you were younger, and as you age, you may need to change the way you serve, or serve in a different area, or lower the time commitment. But in every ministry, there are lots of opportunities to serve that are very different from the opportunity on the other side of the page. I will just once again just speak from Kids Church experience. You know, people that have time can be small group leaders because you have to prepare your lessons during the week and figure out what you're going to do with the kids that Sunday and read through your material and you prepare at home and maybe you have to cut out, you know, 15 footprints and tape together some stuff for an activity. And then you come on Sunday morning and you serve. And some people have that kind of time, and that's great. But then we also have people who work busy schedules. They don't have a lot of time during the week to prepare things. So they serve in the nursery, where the nursery doesn't require any work at home. All they have to do is come in and snuggle babies, and they get the opportunity to let a very, very tired, exhausted young mom sit in a service surrounded by adults and be encouraged by scripture. There is all kinds of opportunities out there. And while your life experience, your desires, your passions for service, the season of life, and your circumstances are all going to dictate how you serve at any given moment, that doesn't mean that you can't serve. Any time in your life, at every time in your life, there is some way to serve. And I would encourage you to just have the mindset of, I serve because Christ served me. And I will serve at whatever church I am invested in to the best of my ability. And if you do that, if you show up and you serve, then I do believe that there is a blessing that comes to you because of it. I have experienced it myself. I have experienced it for others as I have recruited volunteers. One of my most enjoyable parts of my job is helping someone find a place that they can serve where they blossom. Where once they start to serve, their hearts just fill and they can't wait to get in. They can't wait to do their work. They can't wait to serve. They can't wait for those kids to show up, or they can't wait to get their hands on those bulletins and greet the people that come in the door. Or they just glow with pride when they put on their name badge and go work at the information desk. And I watch people like that. I watch them blossom and grow through service. And that is a highlight of my job. And I think you'll find that if you're willing to stick it out and you're willing to try some things, there is a place for you just like that, a place where you will serve. And when you find that place, I think you'll wonder how you live without it. I promise you, serving is one of those things that pays you back just as much as you give out. The last thing I would ask you to give, if you would like to avoid being a parasite, is to give solutions and support. And this is one that I could probably talk about for a long, long, long time. But I know that at every church, there are things being done that you disagree with. Whatever church you go to, there's probably something there that you don't like the way they do it. You don't think it's done well enough. You don't think they're doing the right thing. You don't think they're doing it as often. They're not doing it the way you want. They're not doing something you'd like them to do, or they're doing something you'd rather they not do. I think it's pretty natural for us as human beings to have our own opinions. But there's nothing that drives discouragement in churches more than leaders constantly being faced with complaining and negativity. That's not to say that you can't point out things that are wrong. And that's not to say that you have to keep your mouth shut and just only say happy and good things. But there's a difference between complaining and being offering solutions and being part of the problem, being part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. And far too often, I've seen people who are unhappy with something, a decision the church makes or something, and they come to church with a sullen face and they kind of slump over in their seat and they're angry. And every time the pastor or the worship leader looks over at them, they are reminded once again that we failed that person and they're angry with us. And I can't imagine why anyone would want to put that kind of drain on someone who is charged with caring for you. Someone who is not arbitrarily making decisions to make your life difficult, but is trying to do the best they can and hear the call of God in the way they know how, and to bring about what they believe God would like this church to be. And I have known leaders, elders, deacons, stewards, I have known pastors from many different churches who have beautiful, tender hearts. And it is impossible to please everyone and to make everyone happy. But know that if you are complaining, if you're pointing out everything that's wrong, if you're unhappy with leadership, know that you're being a parasite. You're sucking the life out of the leaders. Instead of doing that, how about offering some good solutions? How about offering to help? How about offering your support? How about saying something like, you know what? I don't quite agree with where we're going here, but you matter to me and this church matters to me, and I'm going to stick it out and I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to pray that God changes one of our minds. I've actually had people say that to me, and the tears that brings, because the stress and the pain of making it an unpopular decision is so much easier when you know that the people that are there care and they want the best too. And they might not agree with you, but they're going to stand beside you and we're going to work through this together. There is nothing in my life that has been a bigger force than the church. I grew up in church. It has always been a part of my life. It will always be a part of my life. It is my identity in many ways. I can look back through periods of great spiritual growth and tie it directly to a growth group or to an accountability partnership or a Bible study or an event that came out of a specific situation at a church. And so as a result, I love the church, and I hate to see it being drained of its resources. And so this is a subject that's really passionate to me. This is something that I would just like to share with everyone. I'd like to share with every church member. Look, you need to commit. You need to make a decision that you're there, that you're a member, that you're committed to the values and the mission of this church, and you're going to stick with it through difficult times and through good times. That you're going to give financially, that you're going to consider this part of your family, and that you're going to invest in it financially, that you're going to give acts of service, that you're going to volunteer, that you're going to minister to others, that you're going to use your gifts and your talents and your abilities and your beautiful, friendly smile to bless someone else. And that instead of constantly being the one person who's always against everything, you're going to give support and encourage your leaders and provide good solutions when appropriate, so that we can all make sure the church grows strong. And if you're not going to be a parasite, you're not only going to do all these things, but you're going to do them consistently and regularly. You're not going to volunteer for a canned food drive and say, I did my part, I'm done forever. You're going to do these things consistently. You're going to do them with a good attitude. And as we wrap around to the beginning, you're going to do them out of love for Jesus, who has a greater love for the church than we could, and who knows that we were designed to live in this sort of community with one another. So don't be a parasite. Don't take and take and take and take and take until you drain the life out of a church. Instead, be a giver and make sure that you are investing life-giving and life-affirming resources back to the church that is so bountifully blessing your life. And just the last thing, if you're not currently attending a church, why not? I know that there are lots of reasons why people skip church, but I don't know of any real good ones. I think the benefits far outweigh any of the negatives, and I would encourage you to find a local church in your area that has values and mission you can believe in and get plugged in, because there is a great benefit in there for you. And there is a great benefit to the community of believers that you would be a part of. Have a great day, and we'll see you back for another episode of Bible Girl. Visit my blog at BibleGirlPodcast.com, where you can email me, find links to my social media sites, and download show notes and printables. I'd love to hear from my listeners. Thanks for joining me today. Drop by again for another episode of Bible Girl.